We're going to look at the story of how God involved a couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth in their plans, in his plans. And we'll also learn how not to talk to an angel. Good words for us. Stand as we read God's word. I'm going to pick it up in verse 5. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. But when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Then Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The story of Zechariah and Elizabeth is found only in the Gospel of Luke. I find that kind of fascinating. Luke was the one that it says was a researcher. He interviewed people, he researched to find out the facts, and he found out about this story of Zechariah and how they were part of this amazing story of God. And so he reports this story. Maybe Zechariah was still alive and he got to interview him, or maybe he just heard from other people who had heard Zechariah's story, but he puts it in the gospel, and I'm glad that it's here for us because I think it's a great lesson for us today. I think as we go through this, in certain ways, we can identify with Zechariah. The way he moved from doubt to belief to praise. The story is primarily about God's work, but he does involve ordinary people like Zechariah and Elizabeth. In this story, we're going to look at Zechariah before the prophecy came, and then we're going to look at the prophecy. And we're going to look at Zechariah after the prophecy, because we're just going to see changes in this story. So let's look at Zechariah for a while. Before the angel gave the prophecy, what can we learn about Zechariah? First, we realize he was a holy priest. Holy priest. Zechariah was descendant from Aaron, which made him a priest. All you had to do to be a priest was be a descendant of Aaron, and you were a priest. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron, which was a special blessing. Wasn't required to be a priest, but it was a blessing, and he was a priest. Now, the priest worked in the temple to manage the temple, to take care of the temple, to offer sacrifices and do all those things, to teach people. At this time in history, they tell us that there was a lot more priests than they needed. They estimate somewhere between 8,000 to 20,000 priests. So they were divided into categories. King David actually did this 1,000 years earlier. He put him in divisions of 24 different divisions. Each division had to work 2 one-week periods throughout the year, and that's how they covered everything. Zechariah was part of the division of Abijah, and the eighth group that would report out of the 24. Each group would work on those two-week periods that they had to work in the temple. Each day, 56 different priests were given specific tasks that they had to do that day. This was the day when Zechariah was chosen to offer the incense before the Lord, which was a wonderful, amazing privilege. We also learn about Zechariah that he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. Remember, Luke was a researcher. He interviewed people. He talked to people. And he found out that these people were absolutely righteous, so much so that he says they were upright in the sight of God, observing the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. I mean, these are amazing people, really amazing people, righteous and holy and living the life that they're supposed to live and doing the right kind of things. We know that Elizabeth was a relative of a lady named Mary, who will be the mother of Jesus. They're related. Zechariah and Elizabeth lived in the hill country of Judea when they weren't serving in the temple area. Probably lived a quiet, uneventful life until this day. Their life's going to be a little changed around. We also know that Zechariah was a childless father. Zechariah and Elizabeth had not been able to have children. They were beyond the time in their lives where they could have them. I mean, it was done. The possibilities are over. They join a long list of biblical couples, by the way, who couldn't have kids. Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel, Manoah and his wife, Elkanah and Hannah. None of them could have children until God intervened in their lives. And miraculous births happened. Zechariah, he's on... in the temple. It's his duty to be at the temple. And he is chosen by lot to burn incense before the Lord in the holy place in the temple. That was a rare honor to do that. Only one priest could do that at a time. One person priest went in. You had to be chosen to do it. There was so many priests that it would be likely, and you could only do it once in your life, that it was very likely you would never get chosen. So this is a big honor to go into the holy place and offer the incense before the Lord. The incense was offered symbolic of the prayers of the people going up to God. Each morning, there was a morning sacrifice. Each evening, there was an evening sacrifice for the people, the whole nation. A burnt offering of a male lamb was offered. But before that was offered, the priest would go in, the chosen priest would go in and burn the incense before in the holy place. The incense, the tradition is that there was so much incense going on in Jerusalem that if you lived close to the temple, which was on top of the mountain, you could smell it. It would drift down the hillsides. So much so that people would recognize you if you were from Jerusalem because your clothes are going to smell like incense. Prayer is going up to God. The people, as the priest goes in to burn the incense, the people would gather outside and wait for him to come up. Didn't take a lot of time for this to happen, usually. So Zechariah goes into the temple. The temple that was there at that time was a magnificent wonder. They say it was an amazing thing that was built there. The place where he went into, the holy place, the temple, they say was 30 feet wide, 60 feet high, and many believe 90 feet high. An amazing, amazing structure. The walls would be covered with gold. At the end of the room, there was a curtain, colored curtain, separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where God's presence dwelt there over the Ark of the Covenant. And the priest would go and stand right before that curtain, as close as you could get to God's presence, and offer the prayers up and the incense to God. That's where Zechariah was. It was an amazing honor. And you can imagine his heart's probably racing at this moment. He's excited to be there in the holy place and offering the incense before the temple. That's all about to change because he's about to have a heart attack. Okay, not literally, but almost. Because an angel shows up and Zechariah becomes a terrified listener. An angel just appeared on the right side of the altar. No announcement, no warning, no, just boom, the angel's there. And he says he was terrified. Now, I don't know what you think about angels. You know, that's not the angel, just so you know. That looks like a Disney princess with wings. But sometimes people picture angels like that. I think it's more like this. But I don't know. We don't know. We don't have any pictures. God didn't send us pictures. Because every time in the Bible, a person encounters an angel, they're terrified. The first thing they train angels to say when you talk to humans is say, don't be afraid. Because everybody's afraid of us, the angels. This mighty angel shows up, just shows up in the temple, and Zachariah is terrified, and you and I would be too if we were in the presence. The angel's name is Gabriel. We're given the name. You know what's fascinating about Gabriel is he was the same angel that showed up 600 years earlier to Daniel in Babylon when Daniel was in exile and gave him a bunch of prophecy of things that are going to happen in the future. That's very interesting, isn't it? Tells us that angels are either really, really old or they're immortal. They're not old. They just live forever. And the same angel, Gabriel, shows up to Zechariah in the temple and tell him, okay, you know those prophecies that I talked to Daniel about? They're coming, and you're going to be a part of them. Pretty exciting stuff. This same Gabriel is going to show up to a lady named Mary and tell her, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. So Gabriel's busy. I think Gabriel holds a very special place in God's service to be able to deliver these amazing messages that he was able to deliver. So here's Zechariah. He's terrified, speechless, but he's listening. Gabriel has his attention. So what does the angel say? Let's look at the angel's prophecy. The first thing, Zechariah heard that his prayer had been heard. His prayer had been heard. The angel said, don't be afraid, your prayer has been heard. He didn't say, don't be afraid, I'm not going to kill you. You're not going to die. He says, don't be afraid because God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer. You know, we don't know for sure what he was praying about, do we? Doesn't tell us. He probably gave up praying for a son a long time ago. But he prayed that prayer. God still remembers that prayer. He could have been praying for the coming of the Messiah. But he says, your prayer has been answered. I wonder if Zechariah ever wondered through those years if God heard him when he prayed. Have you ever wondered that? Does God hear me when I pray? And I think the example of Zechariah will tell us absolutely yes, God hears us when we pray. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. God listens when we pray. The fact that God hears our prayers is reason not to be afraid. There's a lot of fear going around these days. We see it in a lot of different realms. But we can hear the words of the Lord given to Zechariah for us. Don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Zechariah heard the amazing news that he would have a son. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. John means God has been gracious. Zechariah is going to get the gift that he's wanted all of his life. He's always wanted a son, and now he's going to get a son by his wife, Elizabeth, who can't have children, by the way. This message is about a coming miracle, an amazing miracle. He also heard that his son would be a great leader, a great leader. Your son's going to bring great joy into your lives, Zechariah. Many are going to rejoice at his birth. But he's going to be much more than the son. He's going to be a great leader. Great in the sight of the Lord, the angel says. The angel tells Zechariah, your son is never to take wine or other fermented drink. That's a sign in that day that he would be what is called a Nazarite, meaning that he would be set apart to be a special person to serve God. Samson was a Nazarite. The prophet Samuel was a Nazarite. And it was a people that were set apart to serve the Lord. God is going to use John the Baptist. His son John is going to be John the Baptist to do great things, and he did. Jesus, when the guys, people were talking about John the Baptist in Matthew 11, said this about him: I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there's not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. That's quite a compliment from the Lord Jesus himself. Zechariah also heard that his son would be an anointed prophet. Not just he's going to have a great leader, but he's going to be a prophet of God, filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. That little line fascinates me. Filled, what does a Holy Spirit-filled baby look like? I mean, I don't know, it's amazing. Filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, John is going to be unprecedented. And we see it in John's ministry. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached the Word of God. Thousands of people flocked to see this strange guy out in the desert preaching repentance and baptizing people for the repentance of sins. He was an amazing guy, anointed prophet. He is the fulfillment of what the prophets said about Isaiah 40, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. That was fulfilled in John's coming. Zechariah heard that his son would turn people back to God. Many of the people were returned back to the Lord, their God. John is going to lead a revival, the beginning of a revival that's going to happen in Israel on that day, preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. He fulfilled what Malachi the prophet said 400 years earlier, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. He went to prepare the way before Jesus came. John's message was one of repentance, that you have to repent of your sin and turn back to God. He baptized people, a baptism of repentance. Now, repentance isn't new, by the way, for John. Read the Old Testament. The prophets preached about repentance. Ezra, when he led people back from the exile from Babylon to Israel, preached about repentance. When Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, God answered him with these words, and he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That's repentance. This message of repentance has been all the way along. Now John comes, and his message is repentance. Repent and turn back to God. He's preparing the way for Jesus. And when Jesus preached, guess what he preached about? Repentance. Repentance. Turning away from our sin and turning to God, placing our faith in God. John had an amazing ministry. So many people were baptized by him and followed him. Many of the followers of Jesus started as being followers of John. And John helped them find Jesus. You see, Zechariah heard that his son would point people to Jesus. That's why he came, to prepare the way, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John's ministry was not about himself. He wasn't trying to see how many disciples he could get. He wasn't trying to see how many people he could baptize. He wanted to see how many people he could point to Jesus. That's why he came. When he saw Jesus down by the river, the Jordan River, as John was baptizing, it says, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's an amazing declaration, isn't it? He knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus came to do. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John pointed people to Jesus. Like I said, many of his own disciples became disciples of Jesus. When John's ministry, kind of Jesus' ministry, really took off and was going so much greater, John's disciples were a little bit upset and was talking about, hey, you know, everybody's going over to see Jesus and we don't get big crowds anymore. And John said, he must become greater, I must become less. And we know the story. John would actually lose his life. Herod, the king, would kill John the Baptist for what he stood for and what he said. But he pointed people to Jesus. He did his role. All right, let's go back to Zechariah after the angel's prophecy. The angel has put this plan out to Zechariah. You're going to have a son. And Zechariah is thinking, that's impossible. Ain't happening, right? And your son's going to do all these good things. He's thinking that all these good things can't happen if I don't have a son. It's impossible we don't have children. So here we learn how not to talk to an angel. You see, Zechariah responded to the prophecy with doubt. Doubted. He said, how can I be sure of this? Now, you might be tempted to run to his defense. But don't. Don't. Because oftentimes we're at the same place of Zechariah. We hear a word from the Lord. We read a promise. And we're wondering whether to believe it or not. Zechariah doubts this promise from God. Even though he had a lot going for him, he was a righteous man. He was living a blameless life. He knew about the law. He knew about the prophets. He knew about the prophecies of the coming Messiah. He even knew the stories of the Old Testament, people that had children miraculously. And he had a face-to-face conversation with Gabriel, the angel. Still doesn't believe. He joins a long list of people that doubt. Instead of saying, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, he says, how can this happen? How can I be sure of this? You know, there's a lot of doubters in the Bible. People who walked with God and saw great miracles but had doubt. You remember Abraham doubted God when God said, you're going to have a son. And Abraham's 100 years old. His wife doubted too, and she laughed. Moses doubted God when he asked him to lead the people out of Egypt. The Israelites doubted God repeatedly during the exile. Gideon doubted God when God called him to lead the people in battle. Thomas, one of the disciples, doubted that Jesus had raised from the dead. Peter doubted. Remember Jesus? Peter went out and walked on the water to Jesus, and then he began to doubt, and he began to sink. And Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, you have little faith. He said, why did you doubt? And that's really a question for all of us, not just Zechariah. Why do we doubt? Zechariah was rebuked for his lack of faith. I get the idea from Scripture that Gabriel's not happy. I'm just kind of reading between the lines. Because in response to that question of doubt, Gabriel says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. He came for a message from God. It's an amazing message. God is doing his plan. This Messiah is going to come. The Savior of the world is coming. Your son gets to be a part of preparing the way, and you don't believe it? Gabriel knows God can do anything. Gabriel knows God is faithful. So I think Gabriel's just a little bit ticked off. I just think he is. Can't believe Zechariah is privileged to hear this amazing message and he doesn't get it, doesn't believe it. Appears to be something wrong with his faith. And a lot of people struggle with our faith sometimes. Even the disciples that walked closely with Jesus and saw so many amazing miracles struggled sometimes. In Mark 4, Jesus said to them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He wants us to have faith. He wants those people to follow him to really trust in him and have faith. So Zechariah was made silent until the birth. In response to his lack of faith, the angel told Zechariah, you will be silent and not be able to speak until this day happens. You know, in first service, as soon as I said that, I lost my voice for a minute. I really did. And so I had to drink some water. It's kind of scary. Told Joni, might be having another kid. I don't know. So, I don't know. Pray for her. It'd be a miracle. But Zechariah is in that same place. It's impossible for them. They can't have kids, right? Zechariah wanted to know how to be sure of the prophecy, and you know how he knew? He couldn't talk. Couldn't talk. Angel said he's not going to be able to speak. Guess what? He couldn't speak. You won't be able to speak until the baby comes. So for 9 months, God pushed the mute button on Zechariah. And he's muted. He can't talk. Zechariah was still encouraged to believe the promise. Notice the angel said the miracle was still going to happen. Because he said, you will not be able to speak until the day that this happens. Isn't that interesting? It's going to happen. Zechariah, better believe it. It's going to happen. You're going to have a son. Even though he really didn't have great faith, he's doubting right now, God's still going to answer this prayer and give him a son. It isn't the plan of God. And I think Zechariah gets to the place where he does believe. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So Zechariah, you know, is at a crisis point. Am I going to really believe God or not? It's amazing what he's asking him to believe. And Zechariah chose to, at least at the beginning, to doubt, and he's made silent. He's made silent. But he's still encouraged to believe the promise. Now, it was a custom after you burn the incense for the priest to come out and bless the crowd. He would come out and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. But he came out and all he did was sign language. He couldn't say anything. He discovered his voice was gone. He was muted. So the people knew he'd seen something, a vision in the temple. I think the fact that he couldn't speak helped him get to the place of faith. Because he realized, oh, you know what the angel said came true. Maybe everything else is going to come true too. Zechariah believed God. He believed God. He went home to his wife, it says. She became pregnant, and they had a son. Can you imagine the talk at the senior citizen center? Oh, you brought your grandchild today. No, this is my son. What? Your son. Luke chapter 1, 57 says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name it after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed and began to speak, praising God. Isn't that a cool story? Zechariah believed God. He had a son. And immediately, he was able to speak. Zechariah obeyed God. Baby boys were always circumcised on the eighth day of their life and also given their name. They came to give the baby a name and go through the ritual. And the family is trying to help him out, trying to figure out what they're going to name this boy because Zechariah can't talk. And so it was really common to name your son after yourself, the father. So let's name him Zechariah. And the Mary says, no, he's supposed to be called John. And they argue with her. There's nobody in the family named John. You're breaking all the family traditions here. Then they turn to Zechariah, and Zechariah gets out a tablet to write it on and says, his name is John. And immediately he could talk. He could talk. His name is John, which means God has been gracious. You know, aren't you glad? I mean, Zechariah the Baptist doesn't have the same ring as John the Baptist. You know, just doesn't the same. John the Baptist was born. The important thing is that Zechariah believed God and evidenced that faith by obeying God and naming him John, like the angels told him to do. He began to speak, and you know what Zechariah did next? He praised God. He praised God. The same mouth that doubted God's promise now praised God. The same mouth that talked back to the angel now joined the angel in praise to God. Zechariah, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied in the last part of chapter 1. There's an amazing prophecy that Zechariah gives. It says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he's come and redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said long ago through his holy prophets. Salvation from our enemies and all from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our own father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Wonderful words of praise. I like the example of Zechariah. He was a real guy. Wasn't a superhero. Just an ordinary guy doing what he's supposed to be doing. And God spoke to him. Gave him an amazing promise. He doubted, but he came to a place of belief, and he praised God. And I think the takeaway from us today, whatever you're going through, whatever your challenge is right now, if you have a challenge right now, maybe you're doubtful that God's going to help you. Maybe you're doubtful that God is even with you. Maybe you're doubtful that God is hearing your prayers. My challenge and the challenge from the scripture is to move from that doubt to belief. Trust God. And then move that to praise. Praise the Lord. We have a lot to be thankful for. We get so much to celebrate this season. God is faithful. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We'll sing a song of worship together. And as always, if you need to pray, you can come and pray at the altar. We're going to sing a song about Jesus, the one who came, the one that John pointed us to. And John's still pointing us to him through the word, Jesus. Stand together. Let's worship our Lord. Feel free to come and pray if you need to pray this morning.
His name is wonderful.